Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents House of Dolls 4 by Harmon Cooper, narrated by Neil Heligers. Prologue. Bodega. Roman unpacked the box of cheap wine, placing each bottle on a metal shelf and making sure the labels faced outward. He saw a wisp of dust and picked it up, then dropped it in a trash can near the door. He wore black, as he normally did, but he was also in a smock, something Roman was required to wear at this particular bodega. It had been a month since he'd had his power stripped from him, and the powers that be were still deciding if he would be allowed to keep his ability or not. In the meantime, he was supposed to attend Heroes Anonymous meetings, which he'd skipped entirely, and get a job, which he'd managed to accomplish, even if it was somewhat of a lowly position, considering Roman had once worked for the Centralian government. It wasn't hard work. Aside from his cleaning and restocking duties, there wasn't much asked of him. But Roman had issues with pride at times, and being discovered working at a convenience store, especially coming off of a cushy government job, was the last thing he wanted. This was why he'd gotten a haircut and chosen a bodega far away from his former place of employment and the condo he'd lived in until Margot had destroyed it. It was also why he worked the night shift. It was a quiet neighborhood not far from the rail station, and most of the late-night customers wanted a quick bite to eat or something to drink, preferably wine. Hours would pass with no one entering, Roman allowed to be by himself, sometimes getting lost in his thoughts as he stared out at the streets. He kept Casper with him, the tiny doll tucked into the front of his smock. Sometimes he would place his hand in there and hold her, remembering what it had been like when she was alive. When it was especially slow, Roman would imagine himself with his power again. He would look at the boxes that needed to be stacked or the floor that needed to be mopped, and imagine what it would be like to animate everything, to breathe life into things that were internally dead. Sometimes he would actually try to do it, his hand outstretched, his fingers curled, a vein appearing on the side of his forehead. Nothing. It was a goddamn shame. When he'd first started the job and was still getting used to working overnight, Roman had fallen asleep on one of his shifts, dreaming that he was in this very bodega, his power back, Celia and Coma with him. Masked Coma helped unload some of the boxes while Celia quickly mopped the floor, even though Roman told her he could just have the mop do it. She insisted, saying it was an honest day's work. Roman laughed while Casper talked shit from his pocket. He awoke from the dream when a customer entered, a drunken older woman looking for a late-night pick-me-up. She tossed money onto the counter, more than necessary, then grabbed two bottles of wine and stumbled out, which somehow felt apropos at the time. One thing Roman liked about the late shift was seeing the sun come up. He was so used to seeing it go down, and usually not awake when it came up in the morning. It always captured his attention to see the outside change from black to dark blue, morphing to purple and then lapis lazuli, and from there to various shades of orange and yellow. So there were some benefits to working overnight, and he looked forward to zoning out soon, once he finished restocking the wine. Roman was breaking down the empty wine box when the door chimed. He looked up to see a man with dark hair enter, dressed impeccably from head to toe. "Hello," the man said before Roman could greet him. "Can I help you find something?" "Don't I know you from somewhere?" the man asked. "Probably not," Roman lied. "I'm from Southern Centralia and just got a job up here. I mean, unless you are from the South." Roman cleared his throat. "You aren't from the South, are you?" "No, I'm from the West," the man said, his dark eyes scanning Roman. "Nice, I just have a few friends from there. So, can I help you?" "You know, I'm sorry, but you just look so familiar. I have this friend named Ian, and I believe he looks just like you." Roman felt his nerves tense. There was something about the way the man was looking at him that made him feel uneasy. He also noticed it was becoming harder and harder to breathe. He took a step away from the man, placing his hand on one of the wine racks and then slowly wrapping his fingers around the neck of one of the bottles. "Is there something in particular you're looking for?" Roman asked him again. "And to answer your question, no, that's not my name." "What is your name?"
"Marcus," Roman said.
"Marcus Strong."
"Is it now?"
the man asked as he examined a bag of almonds. "I like that name. It has a ring to it. It sounds like the name of a writer."
"I've heard that before," Roman said with a casual shrug. "But it's what my parents gave me. Nothing I can do about it, I guess, aside from write," he said, laughing nervously.
"My name is Orange," the man told him, "which is also an unconventional name."
"So you're from the actual West, then, aren't you?" Roman asked, his grip tightening on the wine bottle.
"That I am," Orange said. "Born and raised, lived through the Western Plague. I was even a soldier, if you can believe that. And you managed to make it here. What kind of visa did you come on?"
Orange tilted his head to the side.
"What do you know about visas?"
Roman shook his head. "I had a brother who worked in immigration. That's why I ask. He was always going off about visa types and whatever. I mean, I know how that stuff works, but it's not really a big interest to me."
"I get that."
Orange looked around again, returning his focus to Roman. "Anyway, I just wanted to grab something to snack on." He placed the bag of almonds on the counter. "I'm glad you're open." Roman started making his way to the counter.
"We stay open 24 hours a day."
"What did you say your name was again?" Orange asked.
"Marcus," Roman said, noticing that the air around him had started to thin again.
He tried to maintain his composure, but as he took the money from the man, Roman felt his legs start to grow weak. He gasped, and the air refilled his lungs.
"Are you okay?" Orange asked, his dark eyes locked on Roman.
"Should I call a teleporter to take you to the hospital?"
"No, that's not necessary. I just have..."
Roman tapped his chest.
"Occasional chest pains."
"Too bad there aren't any healers around to help you."
"Healers were before my time," Roman told him.
"It's too bad, too. They would have done a lot of good around here."
"That's for sure,"
Orange said as he turned away. He lifted his hand over his shoulder, glancing at Roman as he stepped to the door.
"Have a good night. I'll be seeing you."
Chapter 1. The Crack on the Ceiling. His shift over, Roman took the trolley to the studio apartment the Centralian government had provided him. The trolley was empty aside from a woman with a shaved head reading a romance novel, and she shifted a few seats away from Roman when she saw he had an ankle bracelet on. He was used to the tracking device by now, definitely tech from the Eastern Province. He didn't know who was actually tracking him, though. While he hoped it was Ava, his former teacher, he knew it could be anyone. Even a month later, and after plenty of time for reflection, Roman knew he would have still gone after Margot had he been given the choice. And he tried to cancel this thought, just in case there was a telepath in the vicinity hired by the council to keep tabs on his thoughts. But it was impossible. The conviction was too strong, his desire to retrieve Celia's body more powerful than anything he had felt before. It saddened him that Ava had found herself in the crosshairs of all this. She was a firecracker, even before one considered her power over fire, and she'd gone to bat for Roman. So if someone was tracking him, able to come to him in a matter of seconds, he wished it was her. Roman wanted to apologize. He wanted to get down on his knees and beg for forgiveness, even if he would have done the same thing again. But he hadn't heard from Ava in over a month, and he really didn't know where they would stand, regardless of whether he got his power back. The trolley started to slow. A dinging bell let Roman know his stop was approaching.
As he had before, Roman experienced a momentary sense of dread right before he neared the door of his home. He wished he was allowed to carry a wrist guard, but if they found him with something like that, it would affect the final decision of the council. He wanted to stay on their good side. He wanted his goddamn power back. After quietly unlocking it, Roman kicked the door open as he normally did and stepped aside, waiting for something to fire out at him. When it didn't, he quickly shut the door behind him and hoped none of his neighbors had seen him act so oddly. There was an ugly green couch in the place, and resting on the couch were Roman's two dolls, Celia and Coma, lifelessly leaning against each other. Coma was in all black as usual, one of the gothic Lolita dresses she'd come with, a silver mask on her face. Celia was next to her in a flowing black dress Roman had picked out for her to replace her usual exemplar getup. He shook his head as he took them in. Roman took Casper out of the pocket of his jacket and placed her on Coma's lap. He moved to the bed on the other side of the room and kicked off his shoes before lying on it, his hands coming behind his head. Roman got the urge to send a mental message to Ava, but suppressed it. Biting his lip, he turned to his side and looked over at his dolls. Damn, did he miss them. He still had people who wanted to see him, most notably Catherine, the Northern Alliance wind user who had been increasingly putting pressure on him to help her with her finances. Of course, Roman had no money and could no longer counterfeit more, so he expected this relationship to come to an end soon. What he didn't expect was for his door to blow open and for Catherine to fly inside the room, the door slamming behind her, an agitated look on her face and a bottle of wine in her hand.
"I think I messed up your door,"
she said, drunkenly pointing her bottle of wine at. "How did you know I was here?" he asked her as he sat up, his feet now on the floor.
"I followed you from the bodega you work at. You didn't see me in the sky?"
Roman imagined a drunken wind user doing twirls in the air, barely able to maintain her balance. "No." Catherine snorted as she looked over at Roman's dolls.
"Because that's not unsettling."
"We've been over this before," Roman told her. "They may give me my power back, and when they do, I will reanimate them."
"What do they have that a real woman doesn't?"
she asked, bending her ankles so she could stumble out of her heels. Catherine approached Roman and placed her wine bottle on his nightstand.
"Did you miss me?"
she whispered, her lips pressing into a pout. "It was a strange night," Roman said.
"How so?"
She placed a hand on his shoulder, and a gust of wind lifted Roman off his feet to redeposit him on his bed. Catherine threw herself on top of him, straddling his waist. "It was pretty quiet, aside from this one guy that came in kind of late. I thought he was going to do something to me."
"Maybe you shouldn't work the night shift, baby," Catherine said with a hiccup.
"It's better that way. Less chance of running into someone I know." Catherine lowered her face to Roman's, her lips just above his. "He was definitely an exemplar," Roman said, recalling the dark-haired man. "I don't know what his power was, but there was something affecting the oxygen around me."
"I can do that too,"
Catherine said, sucking in air, and Roman's breath left his body. He was now unable to breathe. Catherine smiled down at him and continued to suck in air over his face. She sat up and took the clip out of her white hair to release it, the red strand at the side bouncing over her right shoulder. She placed her hands under her breasts and brought them together.
"Do you think they're big enough?"
she asked, looking down at them. "They're fine," Roman told her once he could breathe again. "Perfect." Catherine was a petite woman, yet she struggled with body image. She was constantly asking Roman questions about her size and how she stacked up to other people.
"Are you sure?"
She took off her red leather jacket and threw it on the floor, her hands coming back to her tits. "Why would I lie about something like that?"
"So I'll suck your dick?" she said with a giggle.
A grin stretched across Roman's face. He had noticed from the beginning that he and Catherine barely had any chemistry, but that didn't stop her from constantly trying to seduce him, usually by saying dirty little things that often took Roman off guard, like the times she told him to come on her lips or put his finger in her ass. That part he enjoyed, but he really had nothing else in common with the woman, and they didn't have anything to talk about aside from sex and her money woes.
"I think they're small," she said, squeezing them again.
Catherine reached her hand back to try to unzip her dress, but couldn't reach the zipper. "Need help?" Roman asked.
"Such a gentleman," she said, turning and re-straddling his waist. "Then again, I've promised to suck your dick."
She placed her hands on the front of his pants, squeezing his penis and testicles as he unzipped the back of her dress.
"Have you ever had sex in the air?"
"I have not, but I don't think it's the best idea for the daytime."
"It's pretty fun," she said, blowing him a kiss. "I've only done it once, but he seemed to enjoy it."
"I'm glad to hear it." Roman didn't know how experienced Catherine actually was. At times, she seemed like she knew what she was doing, but other times, it seemed like Roman was the second or possibly the first guy she'd ever been with. She scooted her knees back, bending forward and unzipping Roman's pants, then taking his cock in her mouth even though it was only half erect. He felt her teeth on it for a moment, but then she lit up. Catherine started making loud slurping sounds, something that had thrown Roman off the first time she had given him a blowjob. He didn't know where she had picked this up, and at first it had sounded a little strange, but now he was used to it. Now it sort of turned him on. She kept at it for a moment, then pressed herself back. Her wind power came over her shoulders and swirled around his cock and balls, which felt incredible. He placed his hands on Catherine's ass, lifting the ends of her skirt and massaging her cheeks. She was wearing a thong, and she moaned as Roman started to pull the string away. She turned her ass toward him, Roman easily slipping inside her due to her wetness. With her back to Roman, her hands on his thighs, Catherine began to move up and down. She looked at him over her shoulder as a strand of hair fell on her face. Roman stared at the ceiling for a moment, seeing the same crack in it that he'd noticed before. If he had his ability to animate inanimate objects, he would smooth over the crack to fix the eyesore. This thought caused him to smile. As Catherine bounced on his cock, Roman silently laughed that he'd become infatuated with the stray crack on the ceiling. Even as she continued to fuck him, he glanced at his two dolls, which were still parked on his couch. Roman remembered what it had been like for them to have life, and suddenly he felt guilty for doing what he was doing in front of them. Trying to get back into the action, Roman placed his hands on Catherine's ass and moved her to the side, then took a position on top of her after she arched her back some.
"Pull my hair,"
she said as he continued to move in and out of her.
"And fuck me harder. Make me come."
Roman did as he was told, now just going through the motions, trying to return to the situation at hand and failing. He willed himself to orgasm in an effort to be done with it, but it wasn't happening, at least not until Catherine began whispering for him to finish, her voice growing louder and louder as the friction finally started to rub him in the right way. It happened eventually, and there was nothing glorious about it aside from the burst of euphoria that spread through them, lasting for less than 10 seconds and leaving as quickly as it had come. He slowly pulled out of her. Catherine rolled to the side and headed to the restroom, cupping herself as she walked. Now on his back, Roman looked up at the crack in the ceiling and curled his fingers, wishing he still had his power. "It could be worse," he reminded himself. But that didn't stop him from feeling empty in some way.
"What's that?"
Catherine called from the bathroom. "Nothing."
"Sheesh, that was a lot of jizz,"
Catherine said as she returned to the bed and cuddled up next to him, still in her skirt.
"Did you like that?"
she asked, then kissed Roman's cheek.
"Want me to suck your dick some more?"
"It was fine," he said. "I'm just tired. It was a long night."
"What do you want me to do differently?"
she asked, a hint of guilt in her voice. "Nothing," Everything was fine. It's just been a long night.
You should just be honest with me.
What do you mean?
What do you really want to do with me? Let's...
She looked away from him.
What?
He asked, reaching for her. Catherine refused to look at Roman, not until he pulled her closer to his body.
If you want to try different things, or want me to wear something sexy or whatever, I am into it. We can do crazier stuff, if that's what you're into. I haven't really tried much, but we can.
Yeah, I guess I should say the same for you, Roman told her. If you want me to try something else, or... Well, I don't think I can wear something sexy for you. She laughed.
That'd be funny.
But you should just be clear with me about what you want, and we'll make it happen.
I am being clear with you. I feel like with sex, people are rarely clear with each other. In an unhealthy relationship, yes.
Roman took a deep breath. I'm not saying that's what this is.
Sometimes it feels that way.
I'm just going through a lot right now. You understand that.
And I'm not? I still barely have any money, and I...
She turned away from Roman again. What is it?
I know it might not be a good idea for me to return home, but I don't know how much longer I'll stay in Centralia.
I understand, he said.
Do you want me to stay here?
She asked, her voice quivering in vulnerability. Roman looked over at his dolls again, and from there back to Catherine. I don't know what I want anymore. Rather than get angry at him, which Roman assumed she would do, Catherine merely let out a sigh.
That's something we can definitely agree on.
Let's just get some rest and continue to work things out. I'm glad you came over.
Are you really?
Sure.
You still want me to suck your dick?
It's fine. Chapter 2 Dreams and Questions. Roman pulled the wall of concrete from the floor, blocking Ava's fireball. He lowered the ceiling, trying to take a swipe at her with a long tentacle made from building material, but the fire user zipped around the gym to avoid his attacks. He'd already given some of his power to Coma, the masked doll on his left conjuring up something fierce. That something came in the form of dozens of spheres made of concrete, which she lobbed at Ava. Roman's teacher spun in the air, dipping down to the ground as if she were diving into a pool of fire. The plumes blasted across the room, and Roman was barely able to get out of the way in time. He now stood on a raised platform, the ceiling lowering and forming steps for him. Roman ran along them as he advanced upon Ava. He saw Coma doing the same, the ends of her black dress flapping as she moved faster than he could. Her hands were wrapped in steel now, which she used to throw a few fists at Ava. The fire user flashed behind Coma, slapping her hand on the doll's back and igniting her body. Roman felt a heavy weight in his heart. He also felt disappointed that Ava had gone for such a cheap move. Then again, in a fight against a real elementalist, this was something he would have to be prepared for. Roman was just about to reach Ava when she fell to the ground, the floor of the gym spilling over her and pressing her body flat. Panic rose in Roman's chest. He hadn't been the one to attack her, which meant that Margot... Roman glanced left and right, spotting Abby standing at the far end of the gym. The Dreamwalker wore a trench coat, high-waisted black pants, and a bolo tie. As he lowered to the ground, Roman started to understand what this really was, that none of this was real. He met the woman with hazel eyes and a masculine jawline, and his first response was a shake of his head.
"Look who's happy to see me,"
Abby the Dreamwalker said, offering him a pleasant smile. "Sorry," Roman told her as he approached the woman, the background fizzling behind him. The two of them now stood in Mystery Hills Park, where Celia was buried. "How's Nadine?" Roman asked. "I've been trying to send her messages, but..."
"I'm not here to talk about Nadine. Not today."
"Then what are you here for?"
"I've been thinking a lot about you, Roman. And I know the last month has been very hard on you. I am a psychometrist by trade who specializes in dreamwalking, as you know, so I'm not able to tell you your future or give you any hope in that regard,
but I do think, and this is just a personal belief, that good things are on the horizon. You think I'll get a raise at the bodega? She laughed, motioning for Roman to walk with her. No, you're too terrible of an employee to be worthy of a raise. Damn, I really could use a new flat. You mean the one the government is already providing you for free isn't good enough? Come see for yourself in person one day. But no, it's a basement apartment, one large room, and a bathroom with a paper-thin door. Not that I can complain, at least I'm not in jail. Abby stopped and turned to him, the stars sparkling above her. I will make you one promise. If you're ever incarcerated, I will pull you completely into a dream. You can live any way you'd like here, but just be aware that it will turn you into a vegetable in the real world. I would be able to sustain it as long as I'm alive, so hopefully I would live past you, your body would die, and you would just forever exist within a dream. You'd do that for me. I've done it for others. So I suppose there is some hope there, that you could become a vegetable and live in a dream, she said, smiling again. Roman smirked. Yes, some hope. Actually, I brought you here today to spend some time with Celia. I thought you'd like that. You did what? Roman asked, his limbs tingling. It isn't the real Celia, clearly, but it is pretty close considering she'll be constructed of all the memories you have of her. Obviously, I wanted to get your permission before I called her here. Roman gulped. Are you serious? I wouldn't show up in your dreams if I wasn't. Please, I would just like to speak to her, to see her. Abby stepped aside. A blistering barrage of light started to form a cocoon in front of her, and Celia eventually stepped out. The beautiful redhead saw Roman and immediately went to him, collapsing in his arms, Roman already sobbing as he hugged her. It's you. It's you. He kept saying, Celia, Roman, she whispered. He pressed himself away from her, both hands on her shoulders. How are you? How are you feeling?
I feel fine, she said.
Abby started to back away, and before he could wave goodbye to her, she was gone. Celia,
it's so nice to be at the park, she said,
taking Roman's hand and turning. The sky brightened as the sun came up, and a cool breeze moved through the trees. You always liked this park, he reminded her.
It's good to get out into nature, to remember where we all came from, not the big city.
Agreed.
How was work today?
She asked as they walked. I don't want to talk about work.
Don't be so defensive about it, she said with a playful squeeze of his hand. Just tell me how it was. It's good to get things off your chest.
Work was work.
So it wasn't that bad?
A strange guy came in, but other than that, it was the same old bodega stuff. Put a product, rotate things, that sort of work.
You weren't at the immigration office?
Sure, I was at the immigration office, Roman said, realizing the limitations of this lucid dream.
And how was Kevin?
He's the same as always. A little annoying, but quiet. Keeping to himself.
And Selena? She's still causing trouble for you?
Roman shook his head. No, they sent her for retraining. Hopefully they'll just keep her there.
Celia laughed. That would be great, wouldn't it?
It would.
Let's walk to those trees over there, she said, leading him along a dirt path.
We could just lie here, Roman told her, gesturing toward a patch of grass.
Sure, she said.
And as Roman looked at the ground, he waved his hand over it, and the grass flattened. He noticed he was wearing a jacket, so he took it off, then took control of the fabric and made a blanket for them to sit on.
I didn't know you could do that,
Celia said as she took off her shoes and sat on the blanket. It's a new trick I learned. The ground began to rumble, the dream slipping away. Roman reached out for Celia and was immediately yanked upward toward the sky. Everything swirling around him as the sound of his own screams met his ears. Roman blinked his eyes open to find himself back in his flat, Catherine returning from the restroom and settling next to him.
He was about to curse when a mental message came in from the last person he was expecting to contact him. I will be...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?